So I first heard the term normcore in high school, and I remember thinking it was like super funny. I would like wake up and throw on my jeans and oversized sweater and my Payless shoes and say, wow, this is so normcore. And I was like so tickled by the idea that my completely average outfits were considered an aesthetic that like someone somewhere was trying to achieve. And I even had normcore enthusiast as my first Instagram bio way before I was really aware of what aesthetics even were. So honestly, this is like an aesthetic that kind of has a special place in my heart and is probably what best describes my style, honestly. Like, I was looking at my Instagram and I was like, yeah, like they're colorful, but they're kind of average. Like, I feel comfortable in them, which is really what dictates how I make decisions about what kind of clothes I want to buy or wear day to day. And like, I think more about like, you know, like, is this practical? Is this gonna like help me feel comfortable in my body? Am I going to like be able to like wear this with more than one article of clothing? Like, am I going to be able to pair these with jeans? Like, the other day I was looking at sweaters because I realized I only have 3 sweaters that I like to wear. And now that we're going back to work, I basically wear the same 3 sweaters the 3 days that I wear in the office. And I'm like, these people think I only have like 3 tops now.
And they're right.
Yeah, they're right. It's true. But yeah, I was like looking at sweaters and I was like, I can't really buy a blue sweater because I like to wear my jeans and then my whole outfit is blue. And like, I mean, maybe that's fine for some people, but I was like, I need to like add some variety. So yeah. When was the first time you heard the word normcore?
Probably on Tumblr. I think my earliest memory of normcore was when I was in college my freshman year, so like 2014, and I was in this class. They're called decals at Berkeley. It's like an extracurricular. And I had a classmate named Karis who was like ultimate hipster, edgy, like Tumblr girl. Like, she had like the bleached hair and like the grunge band tees and like acid wash jeans. And she listened to all the indie music. And she was just so cool. Like, she knew so much about fashion. And I remember she was talking about different trends on the internet. Maybe she was the original internet aesthetic girl. But I remember she was talking about how like the normcore look was in, and at the time she described it as like the Steve Jobs look. So like the dad jeans, like the light wash dad jeans and like the plain black shirts and like the white trainers. And I think this was the time where like the 90s were in. Like, I don't know. I feel like that was a trend back then. And like, it was just starting to be socially acceptable to not wear skinny jeans. Like, I noticed more people were wearing mom jeans. So yeah, I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's not me. But that's cool that people like you were kind of into it. And look at me now. Now I feel like all of my clothes are pretty normcore. Yeah, that was my earliest memory of it. Mm-hmm. I also looked on it kind of pretty fondly, actually. Like, I think that was the first time I heard like any style described as with the word core in it, besides like hardcore. Mm. Was it the first core?
I mean, we're going to get into the history a little bit a tiny bit. But yeah, the first time it was used was in 2008, which is pretty freaking early.
Yeah. We'll say it's the first then. Yeah, tell me more about the history. I want to know.
Yeah. Like, the entire concept of normcore as an internet aesthetic was kind of a joke to me, especially back in high school, which is fair because it did start out as a joke. Back in 2008, a comic artist, Ryan Estrada, wrote a comic for Templar, Arizona, which is... that's what the comic is called. That's not like a place in Arizona, where he joked about different fashion subcultures. And like, the concept of normcore was the punchline. Like, oh, isn't this like the most ridiculous aesthetic out there? The idea of just like dressing like a regular person and calling that an aesthetic. And like, as depicted in the comic, normcore is dangerously regular. You're so boring and basic that it's like considered dangerous, I guess. So that was the first time it was used. And then if we fast forward to 2013, it became like a real trend that like people talked about. So like, this trend forecasting firm called K-Hole called it the next big thing. And they put out this report called Youth Mode that talks about like why normcore is going to be the next big thing. And I mean, like, I went into this episode like still thinking normcore was a joke. Like, I thought it was stupid and silly. A lot of the articles that I was reading also kind of didn't seem to really take it seriously, but they all referenced this report, and so I was like, I should at least read the report that they're all talking about, or at least try to. I didn't know if I would be able to, actually, but like, I looked it up, and you can just download it off of their website. And I read it, and I was like, wait, this actually makes a lot of sense. Like, this speaks to a lot of anxieties that I think our generation feels about, like, the pressures to kind of find your individuality, your voice, you know, like, who are you as a person and how are you different? Like, what can you bring to the world? And the way that, like, K-Hole talks about normcore is, like, actually the more that you try and chase uniqueness and individuality, like, the further away it gets. Like, I was actually thinking about this walking home from work. I was like, it's kind of like in The Incredibles. Like, once everyone is special, no one is. But they suggest the idea of normcore as, like, a response to that. And I may have said that already. But, like, finding comfort in your similarities with others instead of, like, trying to get rid of them or, like, finding the ways that you're different.
That really resonates with me as someone who I feel like for a lot of my life has tried very hard to seem different or feel different and, like, make myself stand out. Maybe that's not unique. Maybe growing up in this, like, Western capitalist country where you're pretty rewarded for being unique, maybe everyone feels that way. But I felt like that really made me, it made me think. Yeah, I definitely was called out.
Yeah, I mean, like, they kind of talk about how, like, even the pursuit of trying to, like, find your individuality, that there is, like, a commonness in that, like, in that pursuit. Like, you can find comfort in, like, knowing that everyone is trying to find a unique way to be themselves or something.
Interesting.
You know?
Okay. That's kind of meta. So in pursuing all of these different aesthetics, like cottagecore and light academia, we're all actually normcore. We're all under the umbrella of normcore.
That's my takeaway anyway. I don't know if that's what they're trying to say, but my takeaway is, like, ultimately we're all human and we all have, like, these base desires that, you know, we're trying, like, I don't know. I'm glad that I'm editing this because I'm, like, all over the map right now.
No.
I do think you're right that we're all, like, just trying to achieve the same things, but in different ways, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that that's comforting to know that we are all struggling.
Yeah. So this article from K-Hole, like, that's what that article was about?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do also talk about, like, that at the very beginning, they talk about the concept of mass indie, which made me think of, like, your classmate that you are talking about. And mass indie is, like, I wasn't as interested in what they were talking about mass indie, but it was, like, a response to, like, the alternative, like, approach to style, where it was, like, everyone is trying to be different, whereas mass indie is trying to, like, remix styles, and they, like, know that there's gonna be similarities. And then normcore is the response to mass indie, or, like, the opposite.
Is this referencing that diagram that you put in your references at the bottom?
I don't know what that diagram means.
Almost understand it. Like,
oh, really?
It's kind of like how I think about a person who is criticizing, like, basicness. Oh, the basic girl, like Starbucks and whatever. So that's in contrast to normcore, where it's like, it's okay and desirable to be normal. And then alternative is like, I want to try so badly to be different. And then mass indie is, I can't even comprehend what the opposite of that would be, or like what the reaction to that. But I see, yeah, it's kind of complicated. I'd love to see examples, like, in that chart, because I think it'd make it more clear. But I like the idea of it.
Like, a quote that I really liked from the report was, like, Individuality was once the path to personal freedom, a way to lead life on your own terms, but the terms keep getting more and more specific, making us more and more isolated. Normcore seeks the freedom that comes with non-exclusivity. It finds liberation in being nothing special and realizes that adaptability leads to belonging. Normcore is a path to a more peaceful life. And I think, like, adaptability leads to belonging is, like, what jumps out to me, that, like normcore isn't about being, like, the same person, finding, like, the most basic common denominator of what being a person is. It's, like, what are the things that, like, make you and I the same? What are the things that makes me and this other person the same? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all gonna be different, but you don't have to, like, change anything about yourself necessarily. Like, you can, like, go to a person and, like, talk to them and find out what your common interests are, like, your common styles and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this connects us.
I like that. As opposed to going to someone and trying to prove to them how, like, special or unique you are and trying to kind of manipulate their perception of you so that they think you're cool or different. It's like going to them and kind of being interested in what connects you to. I think I definitely had the desire for the former previously. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show people, I mean, I guess this was in my insecure era or like my era where I felt like I had to prove myself and I'm developing mm-hmm. my identity. But I felt like I had to, like, in networking sessions or like when I had to make new friends at my grad program, I had to show them, like, oh, this is why, like, I'm fun to be around, like, I like all these things, I like this kind of music, I like going to these kinds of events, this is what makes me kind of special, like, I'm into sustainability and I know about all these different, like, sustainable textiles in my mm-hmm. you know, fashion class or whatever. And I felt like I had to be that way in order for people to respect me or to like me or to make myself feel like I was worthy. Mm-hmm. But really, that's not how to make friends. And that wasn't, like, my entire identity, but I think in a lot of interactions I had, like, that was the dominant feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been way easier had I just approached all new people and situations with, like you said, like, an open mind and just trying to relate to people and, like, how we're similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of that had such a non sequitur. But
no, I mean, I feel like even if your intentions were, like, to prove yourself, like, you were still able to make friends.
Oh, that's true. I was able to make friends.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, my approach is to not speak at all.
Yeah, that's true. I'm too hard on myself. I guess I see a lot of myself in, like, this, and mm-hmm. I can see how normcore would free me from a lot of that pressure.
Yeah. I think I'm, like, approaching normcore from, like, the other extreme. Like, oh, I'm so average. I'm so boring. I'm so basic. Like, nothing about me is special. Why would anyone be interested in me? Like, none of this matters. And I need to get to a place where, like, oh, like, people are interested in me because I like things that they like, you know?
Yeah. Like, you're so fun to be around.
Aw, thanks. Yeah. Another quote that I liked was, like, instead of appropriating an aestheticized version of the mainstream, it just cops to the situation at hand. To be truly normcore, you need to understand that there's no such thing as normal. And, like, how I interpreted this is, like I remember saying, like, oh, maybe, like, when cottagecore was at its peak, it's, like, normcore to be cottagecore. But I think, like, it's less about trying to be cottagecore and more about, like, oh, this is what's popular now. I'm gonna go buy a cottagecore dress because it's cute and I like the puff sleeves. This episode is a lot more complicated than I thought it would be. I thought it would just be us shitting on normcore, but it's not. I'm like, it's a reflection. I don't understand fully. Yeah, it is. It's like, it almost feels like a philosophy.
Yeah, because it is. And I think that's what a lot of the articles you're citing reference. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'll quote this later, or maybe you already have, I can't remember. But it's the idea that it's like, you can't, like, some people say that you can't unintentionally be normcore. Like, my dad, mm-hmm. who doesn't think about his style at all, doesn't care to be unique, just wants to be normal. Mm-hmm. Like, is he considered normcore? Like, is normcore an identity you have to be aware of, or is everyone normcore? And I realized, yeah, like, oh yeah, this topic is like so much more interesting, and it kind of goes back to all the aesthetics that we talk about, because you're right, it's like, is it a lack of an aesthetic? And I think maybe we'll talk about that later, but yeah, it is complicated.
It's also like complicated because there's technically two different definitions of normcore. Like, there's the normcore that came from the comic, which has kind of a defined style, which is like, I think of that like as the normcore aesthetic versus like the normcore that this report talks about, which is more of like an idea. So like, there's normcore as like kind of a joke of an aesthetic style versus normcore as an idea of like freedom from the pressures of individuality, which is how I see it. Like, I think both are subversive in different ways. Normcore as an aesthetic subverts bold fashion and like the idea of like standing out by taking being normal to the extreme, and normcore as an idea subverts that desire for individuality in the first place.
Mm.
Like, I always think of those people who identify themselves as in opposition to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, like one person likes Taylor Swift, so this person is like, oh, I hate Taylor Swift. And that like almost even becomes their identity as like a Taylor Swift hater. And then it's like, why do you hate, yeah, Taylor Swift so much? Like, you're just as obsessed with her as we are now.
Join the club.
I don't know. It's like taking like, oh, you guys are so obsessed with style and like you care so much about like how you look. We're going to go the opposite way. We're going to like act like we don't care how we look. I guess that's where I was trying to go with it. But they,
yeah,
still care,
yeah,
ultimately. Like, you're still making a statement with your clothes, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was an article that I read that was like, oh, even people who try to be normcore, like, it's not just, like, you know, Costco jeans or, you know, whatever, like, thrift store clothes normcore. It's, like, elevated. It's luxury sweatpants.
That made me think about the YouTuber I follow, Audrey Coyne, mm-hmm, and how,
oh, yeah,
there's this subset of, I mean, I guess it is a style where, mm-hmm, they're very interested in like classic timeless pieces and,
mm-hmm,
inherently they're anti-trends. Like, I think a lot of them still experiment with trends and, mm-hmm, find joy in them, but for the most part, like, they value pieces they feel like could be worn forever, or they're really interested in wearable clothes, chic clothes. They're very influenced by like the Parisian style. And for me, like, that kind of feels normcore, in that in all of their preferences, they're rejecting what's like popular and trendy. Like, they avoid, mm-hmm, like trendy colors because they feel like it might not last or it'll look dated in a few years. They,
yeah,
avoid like any trendy like cuts, or I find that they often dislike like cheap things, like cheap jewelry, things that, you know, you're just gonna toss. And like, of course, I agree with these things and that you shouldn't just, you know, buy whatever. It's like not sustainable to just buy a bunch of trendy things and then not wear them after a few months. But to me, it feels normcore a little bit.
Yeah.
And it reminds me when you were saying like these people, like their identity is like in opposition to something. Like, I do feel like this subset of, you know, influencers or people who try to aspire to this style, it's like in opposition to what everyone else seems to be doing. It's,
yeah,
not exactly the same, but it reminded me of that.
They're like okay with not standing out.
Yeah, yeah.
The clothes that they wear are like more usable for the long term.
Yeah,
that,
like they
like
feel
the
like
right word, usable. You can,
yeah,
get more wears out of it.
Yeah. I think about, like, when you said luxury sweatpants, I was like, oh, yeah, that's, like, a lot of what these YouTubers or influencers wear. It's, like, the cashmere crew neck that they're going to be able to pass on to their granddaughter or whatever.
Mm. So I think that there's space for both interpretations of normcore, and you can certainly try to achieve normcore as an aesthetic because, like you said, it is, like, kind of a more classic look. Like, I guess it could go two different ways. Like, you can have like a more classic, like stylish look, or you could like do like a different, like, I guess they, even like within normcore, they're like probably different takes because it feels pretty like overarching. Like, I think a lot of people could fit under normcore. Yeah. Like, you could be, like, style, or like, you could be classic, or you could just be casual, or...
Or you could be Kirkland.
Yeah.
Those are the three. Casual, classic, and Kirkland. Yeah, that's true. We were talking about how, like, I mean, and you mentioned this earlier, but because cottagecore is so popular right now, is that just normcore? Because it's normal? Yeah, I guess, like, when the term came out, and when we first learned about normcore, the style was defined by, like, very casual clothes. It's, like, plain t-shirts. Mm-hmm. This is from the Aesthetics Wiki. The clothes include everyday items like plain t-shirts, baseball caps, straight jeans, sneakers. And it's a more unisex style, so nothing that is overtly feminine or overtly masculine. Mm. And the biggest style icon of this aesthetic is Steve Jobs. And when I say the aesthetic, I think the Aesthetics Wiki more so is referencing that kind of like first interpretation of normcore that you were describing earlier. Mm-hmm. Like normcore as like a specific style that doesn't change. And we've read a couple articles about how normcore today looks a little bit different, because I guess they're keeping like the core meaning of normcore, which is like it's casual and it's kind of neutral. We read a couple articles about what normcore could look like today, and it seems mm-hmm. like a lot of them are referencing brands like Everlane, where it's like elevated casuals. So it's still in the same, it's like normcore of the early 2010s, but like mm-hmm. in a different font maybe. Like they're still wearing like t-shirts and jeans, but it's now like high quality cotton t-shirt that's maybe sustainable or ethical. It's they're still wearing like medium wash jeans, but now they're like high-waisted and like straight legged, and yeah. they're still wearing like white sneakers, but now they're like the latest Nikes and not like, you know, whatever Steve Jobs was wearing. And they're still wearing like pretty neutral color palettes, so mm-hmm. yeah, I guess like they're kind of thinking of normcore purely from like an aesthetics perspective and not the other interpretation where it's more of like an idea. Because today, like, I think what would be pretty normal is like what we wear, like puff sleeved blouses from like knockoff Reformation brands, and like I don't know, like cuts that aren't necessarily like basic, but a lot of people wear them. I don't know, what's like the equivalent for pants? Like, I don't know, nowadays, like
I feel like I see a lot of these like really flowy pants, like a baggy pant.
Yes, baggy pants, that's in right now. If you wore a puff sleeve blouse and baggy pants and like Doc Martens, I don't know about altogether, but like no one would really bat an eye. And like technically mm-hmm. per the second perspective, that is also normcore, and that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking about like
the normcore of today that you described, that feels like a almost stylish elevated normcore, or like elevated casuals like you said. Mm. And then I'm thinking about like my parents and what they would wear.
Yeah
Like a lot of plaid. like button-ups and jeans. Like, I mean, it's like kind of, it is like what you said, it's like very similar clothes, but like maybe a different font, different colors. But like, you know, it's not anything that like would make you look twice.
I think what's interesting is that this is a style that it seems like it's always changing. Like when we think about like the 80s style, it's a very clear concrete mm-hmm. decade with like very clear cuts and like patterns and colors. And if you were to wear those things now, it would always either be a modern interpretation, in which case it's like 80s inspired, or it's like you're actually wearing like vintage 80s clothes. Whereas with normcore, it's like kind of fluid. Like back then it was this, and now it's like this, but a different font. there's no like modern normcore. It just is.
I really like what you wrote about, like, where did it go?
Oh, about pop music. I was thinking about how normcore is similar to pop music, because mm-hmm. pop music, it's like a genre. Yeah. And maybe what's common, I mean, I'm not like a music aficionado or anything, but I'm sure there are some commonalities between like the top pop hits throughout the decades. Like maybe they're all catchy, maybe they're all like a little faster paced, but I feel like mm-hmm. it's definitely sounded different over the decades compared to other genres, because it's just basically what's popular now. Like, if I look at the most popular music now, it's like a mix of rap and like Spanish music and I don't know, like instrumental stuff.
K-pop. Because,
K-pop, exactly. So it's interesting to see how, like, if you were to ask a young person today what pop music is, they would probably think of something different from when we were young. And if we asked what our parents thought was pop, what our parents think is pop music, they'll probably think of something a bit different too. So maybe normcore is like that. Like, it'll just kind of change as people's tastes change.
I was thinking about how you were saying, like, oh, maybe a person will wear, like, puff sleeves with, like, a baggy pant and Doc Martens. And I was like, you know what? I think they would. I think they would buy all of these things because they're like, oh, this is popular. But, like, maybe not quite know how to put it together, or maybe not even care. And, like, put it on and, like, go out. And then maybe it's a fit. Maybe it's not. The thing is, like, style is so strange now. And not, like in a bad way. It's just, like, I think people are bolder. People are willing to, like, experiment more. Mm-hmm. Our perception of style is just, like, more varied than perhaps it once was. And so, like, I'm not necessarily surprised by anything I see on people nowadays. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this makes sense that you are wearing this. Even if it's, like... Like, I've seen people wear, like, crazy, like, high boots in, like, wild colors. And I'm like, damn, those are, like, statement boots. And, like, I wouldn't buy it. But I'm also not surprised to live in a world where this is a thing that happens, I guess. Like,
no, I know what you mean. Like,
this is, like, the culture now, I guess. Yes. Like, people are just more stylish. And I think that's, like, what normcore, the idea, is trying to say, too, is, like... The level at which you have to be at to break the mold is so much higher now.
Ah, yeah.
Like, you have to be really, truly outlandish. Otherwise, you're just, like, a really cool person.
That's a great point. And maybe that's why I feel like any style could be normcore nowadays, just because, like, the fragmentation of aesthetics and, like, how much we are exposed to every day through either social media or seeing people on the street. Mm-hmm. You're right. Like, and the number of outlets people can buy clothes. Like, before, when we were just shopping at the mall, like, what's there is there. And if it's more likely that if someone stands out, it's because, like, oh, yeah, you've just, like, never seen that in the store. But now it's, like, you just have access to buy literally whatever you want in any color, in any shape, in any size. And I think that the fact, like, thrifting and, like, secondhand stuff is more popular now compared to when we were younger. It makes sense. People just dress differently from each other. Everyone has the opportunity to have their own unique style nowadays, like, more so than before.
Mm-hmm. Issa, you said that so well.
What? No, I'm just rehashing what you say.
No, I love that. That makes so much sense. You're right about the fragmentation, and you're right about, like, the access that we have to a variety of places to shop now. Like, we can buy anything anywhere.
That's why you can see thigh-high boots. I like what you said about, like, the bar is just so much higher. And that's why I feel like I've kind of given up on trying to, like, be stylish. Like, I enjoy clothes. I like online shopping. I want to look cute. Yeah. But I've accepted that the fashion mogul I wanted to be when I was in high school, it's just probably not going to happen unless I put a lot of time into searching for cool things and, like, a lot of money, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not interested in that anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, like, what would it even take to be different? Like, at this point, like, I think, like, that's the other thing, is, like, influencers have already dressed to the extremes.
Yeah. Maybe that's why when we were watching Next in Fashion, I was like, damn. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, none of these looks are surprising to me. I would never wear them. But it is what it takes to, like, push the envelope. These, like, weird-ass proportions and, like, cuts and, like, textures.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense now that guy, what was his name? The winner?
I forgot who won. Who won again?
God, it was such a forgettable I'm so sad.
I literally don't remember.
I feel like there was an X, but that might have been his last name.
Oh, Nigel Xavier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Xavier, but I was like, that's not his name.
Okay, yeah.
I can see why he would be next in fashion. It's a little... Boho hasn't been in a while, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say his style is pretty boho.
I wonder what you would think if you compared it, but that's so funny. It is.
I mean, it's wow. So... I like, you know, I do think that it makes sense that he won Next in Fashion. Like, you don't really see that style of, like, yeah, putting fabric together like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you will. I mean, I'm probably, like, way off the mark in terms of, like, boho, but...
No, I can see it, though. Like, the fringe and, like,
yeah, I...
the natural...
Yeah.
Like shades. Dude, Andrew loved his stuff. Like everything he put he put on the runway, Andrew's like, that looks so cool. I want to wear that.
Wow.
I
would
love to
see Andrew in those clothes.
I wanted to see whether he had a website to see whether we could like buy his stuff, and that's how I got spoiled that he won.
Can you?
I don't think so. Oh, he's on the runway now?
Yeah. That wasn't that the whole deal?
Yeah, yeah. You can rent his clothes and rent the runway.
Whoa. How much
damn,
are
it's
they?
Okay, to rent, it is $175 for his jacket.
Whoa.
To buy, it is $975. Sorry, I've completely derailed this.
No. I mean, I asked. I think I started this derailment.
So when I was doing research for this episode, I just looked up Normcore on Instagram just to see what the youths are posting about it, if they are at all. And the only thing that came up was this brand called Normcore Wears, and it's a coffee brand, which I thought was kind of funny. Or they make like coffee equipment, I guess, like pour over filters and whatever. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. I wonder if they even know what Normcore is or like the history of it. And actually, yeah, it seems like they do. It's on their website. It says in their story that the brand was born from unexpected commonality. This idea that everyone should appreciate coffee. Everyone drinks coffee. This is like this shared experience that like billions of people worldwide have. And it should be accessible to everyone if they want delicious coffee. So that's kind of their mission statement. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, yeah, this is kind of what draws people together. And
yeah,
it reminded me of your point earlier about there's something admirable about kind of being part of a group and like belonging and not feeling like you have to reject the group in order to be like respected or liked. Like it's okay to belong. It's okay to like
exactly
be a nobody.
Oh, I'm glad that they did not just like, oh, Normcore sounds like a really cool name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes these coffee brands are like cafes are like, oh, what's like a really cool sounding name?
Yeah, exactly.
What like sounds like really hipster and indie?
Fellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Normcore is probably super hipster and indie in general.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
I like both versions of Normcore. Like, even though I think the aesthetic itself is a joke, that kind of shit is right up my alley. Like, I don't know. I like, I'm still, I guess, like, my high school self. I like the idea of, like, today I wore, like, you know, what did I wear today? Oh, I wore, like, my flower sweater.
Cute.
And, like, just jeans and just sneakers. I was like, yeah, this is Normcore. Just a basic outfit. And I really like the idea of Normcore as like freedom from the pursuit of individuality, but also like finding your community, like you said, like being a part of a group, connecting with others. I like the idea of finding comfort and community in being average. And perhaps there's like, that's probably just me being like hating on myself, like, oh, I'm so boring and average. There's probably like a better way to phrase that. But like, this is actually something that I was kind of talking about with a friend the other day. She asked me about what I thought makes me different or unique. And I was like, not that much, honestly. Like I said before, I'm like, I don't think that I'm that special. But like the core idea behind that for me is like something that I think about a lot is how every individual aspect of me that makes me different is also something that I have in common with other people. Like I'm Vietnamese American, I'm a woman, I'm a designer. Like, this and 1,000 other things could, like, make me unique, but they are also things that I share with thousands of other people. And so, like, I'm not unique. But like, these are the things that I have in common with Issa. Like, Issa and I are so similar. And I love that. And yeah, I just, like, there's something, like, very beautiful about that. Like, I'm starting to appreciate more what I have in common with someone, and I'm trying to work on rejecting that less. Like, instead of being afraid of, like, oh, I'm too similar to these people, I need to, like, make sure that I stand out. Not, like, you know, because I, like, I want to stand out, but, like, I need to make sure that, like, I still have, like, a sense of self, a sense of individuality. Like, I don't want to, like, copy them. And, like, so I'm gonna work on rejecting that less, that impulse.
Yeah, I love that so much. Like, because where does that impulse come from? It's, like, back to the hipster complex of, like, I knew about that first, or I'm not like the other girls, or it just, I feel like it's that little voice that's always telling us you need to be different, you need to be unique, you need to show other people that you have value, and you don't need to say those things or believe those things to know that you have value. Like, you have value just by being you.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, kind of tiring to constantly try to be different.
It is so tiring. It's like, what about me is, am I going to change to be different anyway? Like, I'm pretty okay with who I am. Like, I don't, why am I going to torture myself over who I am as a person? Like, so what if I like the same things? Like, that's great. Now we can talk about it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's why I was really drawn to you as a friend, because everything that I took joy in or you took joy in, we could just, like, combine them together. And for example, whenever I find, like, or whenever you find, like, a piece of clothing you really like and you share with me, I'm like, oh my God, I love that. I'm gonna get the same thing. And instead of being like, oh, but, like, you're copying me, you've always been so supportive and, like, hell yeah, let's twin. Or, like, and I feel like that's just been so much more joyful than other friendships I've had, where it feels like you're kind of gatekeeping part of yourself because you're afraid or threatened by being like other people. And I've been that friend too, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel as good. So thanks for being such a great friend, Lisa.
Yeah.
By letting me steal your whole identity.
We are slowly becoming one.
But I also appreciate when you, like, disagree with me on things. Like, I love hearing your thoughts on, you know, your perspective. And yeah, I appreciate that too.
Yeah. Yay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've also always been worried about, like, whether my style is too similar to yours. And, like, I think it's a holdover from, like, my childhood. I mean, I think, like, you're right about how, like, the culture back then was like, oh, don't be like other girls. Or, like, especially, like, I remember, like, in elementary school, some of my, like, friends or classmates would be like, oh, are you, like, copying,
you know,
like, a drawing style? Or, like, oh, this looks a lot like this other classmate's drawing style. Are you just copying them? And I was like, I mean, yes, I really like it.
How you learn.
Yeah, no, but, like, by copying them, I became a better artist. I looked at, like, other girls in my class and I was like, wow, I really like their handwriting. I want to, like, write like that. And I would, like, go home, I would, like, practice my handwriting until it looked cute. But yeah, I don't know, I feel like I'm a better person. I like who I am more because I was following that impulse of, like, oh, I really like this thing about this person. And I would like to imitate that and have that in my life, instead of being like, oh, this person likes this thing, I'm going to do the opposite of it.
Yeah, I was that girl.
I mean, I was that girl too. I think we are. That's a different that girl. That girl. What's the meme? This might just be a Tumblr meme, but it's like, that girl derogatory. Parentheses derogatory. Versus, like, that girl aspirational.
That's so true. Oh my gosh.
I'm always inspired by other people's styles, and I want to find ways to implement aspects of those styles in my style. And I feel like I've become a more stylish person because of you and, like, all my other friends who are, like, way more stylish than I am. And I'm like, please rub off on me.
I think you're so stylish. I feel like my style's definitely gotten better because of you. I feel like I've been able to experiment more and like step outside my comfort zone by copying the cute things that you buy or that you send me.
Nice. I'm going to be more shameless in copying your style. I feel like, yeah, I'm just going to be like, Issa, where did you get that? So that I can also get it. Because usually I'm just like, oh, that's so cute. I can't have it because Issa
has it. No, you can literally get the same thing. I will literally share my Notion page with you. I'm supposed to catalog all my clothes, and I've cataloged like half, including where I got them. So I'll just share it with you so you won't even have to guess.
That's such a good idea.
And I used to use it. Sorry, we can like derailing. Sorry. Sorry, Lisa, in the editing phase. But I used to log like how many times I wear something. It's kind of like what you have in your style tracker, but I never got around to doing it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do something like that, but I'm like, God, I have to take pictures of all of my clothes. What a drag. Yeah. I don't even have that many clothes.
I don't even take pictures of the clothes. I just look them up online and then I like just copy the image in.
So smart. I would have to take pictures of some of them because I probably don't even know where
I got them. I did that for some too.
Wow. The big takeaway is like when I went into this episode, like I thought, oh, normcore is about having no style at all. You don't care about the way that you look ever. But like that's not necessarily true. You can still have a sense of style and you can still have an aesthetic and it can be whatever is popular. It's a state of mind.
It's like when you choose your outfit, you're not consciously thinking, how can I be super unique?
Usually when I'm trying to think of what to wear, I'm like, did I wear this yesterday? Are people gonna remember? What do you think about when you put on, like when you're trying to pick out an outfit?
Oh, I think of so many things. I think about who I'm seeing. Like if I'm seeing Andrew's friends, I definitely want to wear like more stylish clothes. Like I definitely don't want to look like a slob. And like, because I still feel that urge to impress them. And I know a couple of them, they are more stylish, or I can tell like they pay more attention to clothes. And so when I get dressed, it's often with the thought of like, oh, I hope Octavio compliments my outfit today. Or I hope someone thinks like, wow, Issa wears cool clothes. And so I will often put on like my more unique pieces, my vintage pieces, and I'll like pay more attention to how like flattering my outfit is. So I mean, it's not that I don't like that, but it is tiring. And then sometimes I feel like let down if no one compliments my outfit. So I think adopting a more normcore mindset, it frees me from that burden of feeling like I failed if I didn't stand out or if I wasn't perceived as more interesting because of what I'm wearing. And I appreciate that about normcore.
Yeah.
But when I hang out with you, I'm just like, oh my God, I wonder if I can just like look cute and like match with Lisa today. And I definitely wear like more feminine clothes that are like truer to my style when I'm with you.
Aww.
Alternatively, it depends what we're doing. Sometimes I'm just like, whatever, I'll just wear casual clothes because Lisa doesn't care. I'll just be comfortable. This episode really made me think, use my brain more than I thought it would.
Yeah, same. I guess for one final quote, it's not about being simple or forfeiting individuality to become a bland uniform mass. Rather, it's about welcoming the possibility of being recognizable, of looking like other people, and seeing that as an opportunity for connection instead of as evidence that your identity has dissolved.
I love that. That's true.